So we're continuing our series on you don't have to sin. You don't have to sin, and you can always be obedient. And again, just a reminder is that it's a reminder to position our minds and our hearts on the fact that we don't have to sin. I know we're going to fall short of that, but I don't want to use that as an excuse to just sin. I want to mitigate all excuses to sin. You know, I mean, when you're hearing every Sunday, and hopefully meditating throughout the week, I don't have to sin, I don't have to sin, I don't have to sin, I can always be obedient. Surely you're not going to meditate on that and just sin more. Amen. Is that a fair statement? And if you think about it, if you meditate on that and you begin to sin less and less, then problem solved. This is what the purpose of this teaching is, to encourage the people of God to sin less and less and less. Glory be to God. Amen. Having said that, let's do some review. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Romans chapter 6. And we'll begin with the first verse. We're going to read down to the fourth verse. First to the fourth verse. Hold on one second. Romans chapter 6. And we'll begin with the first verse, reading down to the fourth verse. And it reads, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin," another past tense there, "still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that," here's the purpose, "just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too, being raised from the dead, might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his," Christ Jesus, "we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Thank you, Lord Jesus. "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." We'll stop at verse 7. "For one who has died has been set free from sin." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The one who has died has been set free from sin. And so there you have the past tense deal. And of course, these verses clearly show us that we have no excuse when we decide to sin. Amen. There is just no excuse. Look back at Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We started covering that last week, walking in newness of life. Here's the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection, that we might walk in newness of life. And again, newness of life, how one behaves, how one manages themselves on a daily basis. And when you talk about daily basis, managing yourself on a daily basis, it's really how we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. To control us. Mm-hmm. To control us on a daily basis. Daily basis. That's the newness of life that he talks about. Mm-hmm. Any questions about that? When we look at newness of life, behavior, controlling, managing, it all is to be done in a new way. Remember, we talked about the word newness, newness of life, a quality, a new quality or excellence, a new value, condition of life that's different, glory be to God, than what we once had. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Different. How is it then that with Christ Jesus dying on the cross then, that our lives have been changed? Our lives have been changed. There's a newness of life. Mm-hmm. A new quality of excellence, value, worth. Glory be to God. And I really want you to focus on this here. A new source of ethical and spiritual energy imparted to the believer by God, through which the believer is enabled to live out a righteous and holy life. A new source of ethical and spiritual energy. Who is that? Holy Spirit. Because that's what we didn't have when we were sinners. So when we talk about newness of life, it's not just, like we said last week, it's not just living a new way, but it's also receiving a new source to live the new way. And isn't God that gracious? Isn't he not that complete? Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is that complete. And this new source of ethical and spiritual energy enables us to live out a righteous and holy life. So the newness of life is a combination of the new energy to live out this new life, which is righteous and holy. And of course, that new life, righteous and holy life, you'll be living in a state of being different because you're not like everyone else. That makes sense, Word of Life?
Absolutely.
Amen. And we read 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is Christ Jesus, right? We read that, right? He's a new creation. Is Felicity okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You need some water? Okay. You need any water?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. New creation. We went over that definition too yesterday, last week. Want to read that again. And review is a beautiful thing, because I know we don't have it all at one time. New creation. I don't know if you finished it. And I like how the commentator says, a little world in himself, formerly all was in chaos, chaotic disorder. When were we in chaotic disorder? When we were sinners. You say, yeah, I know, that's obvious. Well, just making sure. Now, there's a new creation which God himself owns as his workmanship, and which he can look on and pronounce very good. Because we are recreated in Christ Jesus. Right? Look at, I know you're taking notes, but when you get a chance, Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm not sure what is going on with this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You all have, did everyone have the first one? Mm-hmm. Notice the life, okay. Ephesians 2, 10 says, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. That fits right in here. The former was chaotic and disorder. Now there's a new creation which God himself owns as his workmanship. That's perfectly stated. Which fits Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. We belong to him. He created us. He recreated us. He created us the first time naturally. We were born the first time. Then he recreated us spiritually, born the second time. The first time, there was chaos, disorder, because we were, by nature, children of wrath. Remember that phrasing? So that's, is not sin chaotic and disorder? Look at the life around you. Look at the world around you. But now, because he recreated us, and don't blow through that either. When it says we're a new creation, don't blow through that. Land here for a moment. Think about it. God recreated me. Because I was a hot mess. We were sinners. We did what we want. We were slaves to the flesh. And all we did was disobey. We did that which pleased us all the time. That leads to chaotic disorder, this chaotic and disorderly living. I always say about one thing that happened when I got saved is that between the ears quieted way down. It was amazing. There was so much going on in my mind. You talking about chaos and disorder. Good Lord. It's a wonder I could put one foot in front of the other. But thank God that we are a new creation, which God himself owns as his workmanship. And that's why he can look on and say, that's very good, because I did that. Mm-hmm. Not we're very good. Catch it now. Don't get confused. Not that we're very good. No, what God has done is very good, which is to recreate us in his image and in his likeness. That's amazing. That's amazing. We talked about that this word, okay, sorry, that this word carries a couple of new, subtle nuances in it, that this new creation means that you are now in a, let me write quick, that you're now in a, and our condition has been altered. We've been thrust into a new environment. Because our condition was one of, on our way to hell, darkness, evil all around, and he's completely changed that when he came, as Brianna sings a song. When you came, I changed. Amen. Everything is different. Glory be to God. There's a new environment now. My relationship with my previous environment has been cut. Glory be to God. My relationship with my previous environment has been cut. So new creation, carries, you have newness of life, newness of life rather, talks about the new energy to live this new life of, that's holy and righteous. And then in that you are a new creation where God formed, recreates you and also so takes you out of the environment you once were in, and he alters our condition from death to life, from darkness to light, from the secular and the worldly to the spiritual. Does that make sense? So you got words like, at salvation, there's regeneration, there's a new birth, there's a conversion, and there's transformation. Those four things have happened. Remember that. I still think most of the body of Christ, and I hate to say that most, but they just don't understand what has happened when they were born again. I don't know. I don't think we fully understand. And I think part of that is because the preachers are not, the pastors aren't really teaching that like it needs to be taught. But at salvation, there is regeneration, a new birth, a conversion, and a transformation. Your life is transformed. We're not the same people. That's why, how can you think I can just get saved, so to say, and not live a different life? No, the salvation includes a transformation. You are completely changed. You're transformed. You're not who you used to be. Yes. Yeah, you've been saying thank you, Lord, almost every sentence. But she just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right. Thank you, Lord. He's done this. Amen. It's God's grace. And that's why I believe mightily in review. Because I know we don't have it, me included. And I've studied on it almost more than you. And I know I still don't have it. I got it maybe a little bit more than you, just about that much. But I know review is important. She thank you, Lord, like we just taught it today. But it is a thank you, Lord, and a glory to God, and a hallelujah, and a thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you that you regenerated us. We needed a regeneration. We regenerated, but we needed a regeneration. And remember, all of these words are spiritual words. There's a new birth, because we were born the first time. There's a conversion, because we need to be changed from that environment we were in. And there's a transformation. We are transformed. We're not the same, Ms. Cheryl, that we used to be. That's right, Ms. Darlene. We shake our head, because when you think about who you were and what we were and how we were, we shake our heads. Like, Lord God Almighty, no goodness of my own, because I was a hot mess and I wouldn't have saved me. Think about that. I wouldn't have saved me. Burn, you're going to burn in hell. You crazy thing, you. But thank God, he's gracious and he's merciful. Amen? Amen? He's gracious and he's merciful. And now let's talk about the result. He said, as a result, we are a new creation. Amen. As a result, we are a new creation. There's a new creation, and this new person walks in a different way. And that's why we can say that. Let me get this out your way. There's a new creation. He just didn't regenerate, give a new birth, convert, and transform. But the result was that we are a new creation. All of this led to this new creation. And this new creation, this new person now walks, lives, orders their conduct in a different way. That's the newness of life that we've been empowered to live. Does that make sense? This really, you could call it the spiritual reason behind the resurrection. You know, we've actually kind of morphed into a little mini series within the bigger series. We're teaching, as Ms. Phyllisie blessed my soul last week and said, you know, I've never looked at Easter or any other the same way again, ever again. Because I see more and more the behind the scenes of what that cross was all about. It's a new creation. We walk in a new way. This is the reason for the resurrection. On the cross, he bore our sins and paid for them, but he rose for our justification. That's what's leading to this.
Hallelujah.
for us to walk in newness of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then we talked about the several things. Now that we have a new life, you know, he's put a new song in our mouth, right? Psalm 40:3. Ezekiel 19, he's given us a new heart. Ezekiel 36, he's given us a new spirit. Galatians 6:15, we are a new creation. Ephesians 4, we are a new man, a new, you know, self, a new man. And then lastly, we have a new name, meaning a new identity. We're new, baby. We're new. A new, even our identity is new. Hallelujah. Because who we are now associated with is new. Remember all the beginning of we've been baptized and died with him? Because we're united with him. We're united with him. Look at the next. Okay, no, so we'll stop there. Let me stop. Okay, now. This is where we stopped last week, right here. Okay. Now you are a new creation. Personally created by God himself. Creation is very good. You've been regenerated and born again, as we used to say back in the day. We've been converted. We've been transformed. We are a new people walking in a new and different way. Did you ever stop to think? I have in my notes here. Now all of a sudden, we are released back into this world. But we are now alien to it. Never thought of it that way. We taught on developing an alien mindset or something like that. What is it? Mentality. Thank you. This is why. Because if you look at it in this way, we're new, but he doesn't take us out of the world. Now you go back to your sinning folks and environment, the den of iniquity, a new person, but we're alien now. You're like, man, I don't like this. I ain't trying to hear this. I'm like, yes, we're strangers to it. We're aliens. We're strangers. We're pilgrims in it, just passing through. We don't belong anymore because there has been such a severe transformation. I love that note. So now all of a sudden we're released back into this world. But we're alien to it, strangers to it. I'm going to put that note up there. We are alien to it, strangers to it. Notice both. Alien. We're going to go over that again. Strangers. Just like when we taught it then. I'm going to go over those notes. We're aliens. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're no longer in the house. We're no longer on vacation per se. We're just now passing through. The mentality is we're just passing through. Pilgrimage. We're going through on our way to somewhere else.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11, which was one of the foundation texts for that. And it was developing an alien mentality? April? Developing? Okay. Yeah. So and now this is one of the foundation texts in that series. 1 Peter 2:11. And I just took the notes from that to remind us what aliens and strangers and pilgrims are. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Peter is saying here, let's go back up. Because you've been regenerated, you've been born again, you've been converted and transformed, and you're now walking as a new creation in a new way, and you're released back into this world as alien and strangers. He's saying abstain from fleshly lust, because that's what the unconverted, the unregenerated, those who have not been born again, those who have not been transformed, that's what we used to do So, but now since you are an alien to this world, released back into it as a new creation, then I need you to stop doing that. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. We went over that way in that series. Why the term alien? Why did he choose that? I have because it reminded them that they were not truly members of this society. That's why we need to keep hearing that. We're not truly members of this society. So he says, I urge you as aliens and strangers. Stop following your lusts. He chose that. The Holy Spirit chose that through the Apostle Peter, by the way. He chose that word to remind them because you're not really members of this society. Let's throw the definition of alien and strangers up there. Alien literally means alongside the house. Alongside the house. The word came to mean anyone who lives in a country not their own. Anyone who lives in a country not their own. Alongside the house. Came to mean anyone who lives in a country not their own. One who lives in a place without the right of citizenship and is therefore a foreigner. We can't hear that enough. We live in this country that does not belong to us. Yes, we are Americans. But then this ties into the teaching on our supreme identity. We are Americans. We are citizens of America. We do carry a sort of dual citizenship, but realize that our first and foremost, our primary citizenship, our primary identity and citizenship, they match each other, is that we're heavenly beings. We're just passing through here. Does that make sense, Word of Life? Amen. Okay, so alongside the house, this term fits Christians who do not belong to this world system, but live alongside those who do. Think about that. This term fits Christians who do not live in this world system. They don't belong to it, but they live alongside those who do. So, and of course, we went over it before. The house is this world system. You live, those who live in the house are under the sway of Satan, who runs this world system. We used to belong in that house. When we became a new creation, when we were transformed, regenerated, born again, and converted, then we were released back into this world as aliens and strangers. And so now we're no longer in the house. We live alongside. We're outside. We got kicked out of the house by the Holy Ghost. That's a good kick out there. And amen. That's right. We got kicked out. We need to be kicked out. And the world, when they lost you, when the world system lost you to God, they sang the Rolls Royce song. You've abandoned me. You don't live here anymore. And that's right. Just a vacancy. Yeah, we're done. We're done with this. Glory be to God. Now let's really be done with it though.
Amen.
Man, I'm getting confused. Sunday, Wednesday is love not the world. Because that fits like I got my teeth, love on right. That fits so much in there.
Absolutely.
We've been regenerated. We're born again. We're new creatures. We no longer are in the house anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
In fact, I need to put that other note up there. I mean, we're no longer in this house anymore. And we need to realize that we have been kicked out. And that is a good kick out. And we want that the world to keep singing the Rolls Royce song that we've abandoned them. We want the world to keep singing that because we don't live anymore on what I'm to my page. But we need to understand that we don't belong here. So let's not think like that. Let's not act like it. Glory be to God. Let's not act like it. Let's not think like it. Yeah. So this term fits Christians who do not belong to the world system and live alongside those who do. We're still alongside them. Apostle Paul said, if need be, we'd go out the world. We can't do that, but we got to live in the world, but not of the world. Of the world would be in the house. In the world means I'm here, I've got to be here, but I'm alongside. I don't have to be in the house. I can live in the world and then, sound like Apostle Paul, be separate and apart. Come ye out from among them. Get out of the house and be separate and apart. So now that you're living alongside the house and not in the house, then you're understanding, wow, I see what was in that house is terrible. You begin to see what's in the house. And that's why we really break down when we see people caught in sin. Because we know that unless the Lord performs a miraculous work, it's not going to be good. And so that's why we pray until they actually leave this earth. We pray and pray and pray and pray. That's just aliens. Strangers. Look at the definition of strangers. Glory be to God. Strangers are one who come from a foreign country into a city or land. Who come from a foreign country into a city or land. Oops. Into a city or land. To reside there by the side of the natives. Hence they are strangers. Sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner. Why is all that going on? Because we've been transformed. We've been born again. We've been converted. And once he did that to us spiritually, because of the death, burial, and resurrection, then he placed us back out into the world to be his ambassadors. And his ambassadors don't live in the house. His ambassadors understand we're just passing through. We're just here for a moment. And while I'm here, my whole objective is to bring God glory, to obey his will, even in the minute things. And I hear you. Even in the minute things. It's about him getting the glory and the honor. Now, remember we said this here, that we are new persons. And we walk in a different way. One of the ways that we walk is found in 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at the epistle, John's first epistle, chapter 1. One of the ways that we walk is found in 1 John, because we walk in a different way. It's like taking a new way home, you know, a new path. We're not going the same old way.
Yeah.
Like I'm going a different way. I'm able to go a different way. I've been shown that there's a different way. Yeah. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, constantly, consistently, and continually is cleansing us from all sin. That's amazing. But beginning of the A portion of verse 7, but if we walk in the light. So when we walk in the light, we have fellowship as he is in the light. Then this new person we walk is the new walk is in the light. Light stands for dark, truth. Light stands for truth, holiness. Darkness stands for lies, deception and evil. We used to walk in the darkness, but we now walk in the light. We walk in the light. When you get through with that, let's go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. We just finished on verse 4. We'll read verse 4 again when we get there. Romans 6, 4, and then we'll morph into verse 5. If I'm going too fast, I'm trying to just let the definitions stay up long enough. You can just kind of get them, see them, write them, and take our time. Is it okay to go to Romans 6 now? Okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him, Christ Jesus, by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too, and I'm going to add in there, being raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, might walk in newness of life. Purpose of the resurrection. Look at chapter, the next verse, verse 5. For if we have been, and if is not a condition of, could be not, it means since. A fact. But since we have been united with him in death, like he is, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like he is. Okay, so that's rerun teaching that we said ad nauseum, that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just some historical event that happened 2,000 years ago. It is an historical event, but it's not just that. Not for the Christian. No. It is a present day, right now, spiritual reality. Present day, right now, spiritual reality. And the result of that resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection, is still bringing folks to him, to Christ Jesus, even on today. Thank you, Lord. So it's a past completed action with present day ongoing results. The crucifixion is done. The resurrection has happened. But the results of it is still happening even on today. And that's how we got saved, because of the power that's in that. It was more than just a historical fact. It's something that we actually participated in. Because we were united with him. We were buried with him. We were baptized into Christ. Submerged to unite and to participate. That is amazing. And so God counted Jesus' death as our death. Yeah, it just said here, the resurrection is not something we look back and believe in. It's something in which we participate. We die when he died. When he arose, we arose. Why? Because God counted his death as if it were ours. And I can't say that enough. When he died, we died. God counted his death as our death. When he arose, we arose. God counted his resurrection as our resurrection. And I love that how Christ's Calvary became our Calvary. Mm-hmm. When he died, I died, you died, we died. When he arose, I arose, you arose, we arose. And the good news is, when he died, our sins were paid for. When he arose, our new life was guaranteed. Amen. Amen is right, my papa. He arose for our justification. We talked about the blood being sprinkled on the mercy seat. He just didn't kill the animal. They killed it, and then the high priest walked it into the holiest of holies before God. Presented on the mercy seat. Jesus arose. Hallelujah. Passed through the heavens. Walked up to his Father and said, here it is. Symbolically speaking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our new life was guaranteed. From that point, our eternal life, everything was set. Mm-hmm. Etched in stone. Nothing could undo it.
Thank you,
You can't unspill the blood. You can't remove the nails. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Because we're united with him. We're united with him. They use the word united in verse 5. They could have used it in verse 3 and 4 when he talked about being baptized into Christ. Because it means to be united with him. Just participate. To be in union with him. We're united with him. In his death, like his, we shall certainly, look at that, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. He's not going to, like, symbolically, spiritually speaking, take us out of Christ's body symbolically. No, we're participating in the whole thing. They're going to participate in the whole thing. Lord. And I'm going to count Calvary as if it was their Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. So we don't just look back on it and believe in it. No. Spiritually speaking, we are participating in it. It's not just history. It's a present day, right now, spiritual reality. Hallelujah. That's still saving people today. And we're hoping for our nephews and cousins and our sisters and brothers and nephews and to come on. Because that power is still available. Let me tell you something, partner. It saved you and it saved me. And we know it can save Ray Ray and Uncle John and Little Bob. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't just, and you know, rarely, I did maybe 15 years ago talk about one time the physical effects of the crucifixion before I knew better. I mean, you can, but that's irrelevant. The spiritual is what it was. If you, and of course, when I saw it, you know, the Word of God almost misses the crucifixion, actual act of crucifixion, almost as an afterthought. Because in one of the Gospels, I don't remember which one, it says, and the crucifying ones, like, made a mockery of him or something. That's how he mentioned the crucifixion. That's the literal Greek. The crucifying ones, you know, oh, they were crucifying him. Because it's not about the physical pain. All of that was spiritual. Why was he killed? For our sins. It's spiritual. Sin is spiritual. That's what the world doesn't understand. Excuse me for getting going here for a hot second. That's why politics is not going to fix it. Passing various things, certain programs. This is a spiritual problem. The world has misdiagnosed the problem. Therefore, they're going to always not be able to, they're going to continue to misdiagnose how to solve it. The problem is spiritual. The crucifixion was spiritual. The resurrection was spiritual. Meaning there was, the crucifixion in the natural led to spiritual results. The resurrection in the natural led to spiritual ongoing results. That's why it really, as far as God using it to bring others to himself, we need to talk about the spiritual behind the natural. Amen. And not dwell on the pain and stay right there. Why was all this going on? Because of sin. Yeah. Why did he arise? Because of our justification. He guaranteed our new life. Glory be to God. Amen. He went before God and said, here it is. And now everything's finished. Not only just the removal of their sin is finished on the cross, but now their sanctification is also bought and paid for. They are now righteous. Hallelujah. Now Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the life of the Spirit, for the life of the Spirit of God, something like that, has made us free from the law of sin and death. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not just history. Romans 6, the next verse. We'll close in a moment. Romans 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Amen. We'll just start this. And we'll finish next week, Lord willing. Knowing this, that our old self, describes something that is worn out, useless, fit to be put on the scrap pile, to be discarded. Does that make sense? That's old. Something that's useless, worn out. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self, from ESV. What ESV? What does ESV say? Everyone doing
anything? We know that our old self was crucified.
Yeah, okay. So we're defining old self. So old, we just took the word old from, we're describing that. So something that is worn out, useless, fit to be put on the scrap pile, to be discarded. That sounds like about how our old self was as sinners. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then the word together, the old man, you can kind of figure where we're going with that one. The old man. Okay, so old describes something that is worn out, useless, fit to be put on the scrap heap or pile to be discarded. So the old man here refers to that person the believer was before they were saved. Totally depraved, unregenerated, lacking the life of God, and as a result, it was fit to be put out on the scrap pile to be discarded because it was worn out and useless. Does that not make sense? Mm-hmm. That's who we were. B.C. before Christ. And again, this is Romans 6, verse 6, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The old man. In a nutshell, is who we were before we were saved. But notice, by using the word old in the Greek, notice that old refers to this. Just garbage. Worthless. That life we were living was worthless. It was useless. And did it not wear us out? Did that life not wear us out? You wouldn't know because you say it too, so. But it wore us out. You tired, you come home like, man, is this all there is? Sometimes you ask yourself that question. Amen, Mr. Ali? Like, it's like, is this really? Thank God for regeneration. Thank God for transformation. Thank God for conversion. Thank God for the new birth. Thank you, Father. He said, knowing this, that our old self was crucified. One more note on the old self. Look at Ephesians 4:22. For old self, before we move on with Christ. Look at Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. It says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. You see that? Uh-oh, too fast. Yeah, let me know. You got it? Okay. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Yuck. That's yuck. It is corrupt through deceitful desires. Things that we long for and crave are deceitful, unbiblical, unscriptural, ungodly. That belongs to our former self. Who's our former self? The person that we were before we were saved. That's who we were before we were saved. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. I'm loving this, oh God.
highlighters and pens and everything going on. I'm loving all of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Back to Romans 6 as we get ready to close. Our old man was crucified. Crucifixion only had one purpose. What was that? What's the purpose of crucifixion ultimately?
To pay for our sin.
Well, no, I'm sorry. What's the purpose of natural crucifixion in the natural? To kill. Period. So when he said the old man was crucified, he's saying that it was killed. That's what he's saying. It was murdered. In Christ Jesus. When was it crucified? It says with him. With him. Meaning when he. So if you go back to verse 5. If you go back to verse 5. Verse 5 says if we have been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. We were united with him in death. That's when our old man. Our old self was crucified. Does that make sense? Because that's the ultimate purpose of crucifixion is death. Period. And when Apostle Paul, that is the way he's using it here. Our old man was killed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, by the way, does it not lend to the title, you don't have to sin? He's telling you again, the old man, the former self, the person the believer was before they were saved, has been killed. Say it again. The person that we were before we were saved has been killed. Mm-hmm. Sound like you don't have to sin. Does that sound like to me you don't have to sin?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That dude been killed. We read in Ephesians 4 that also belongs to our former manner of life. Mm-hmm. And it lets us know that it is corrupt through deceitful desires. It's our former man. It's who we used to be before we were saved. It's been killed with him in order that our body of sin. I'm not going to get into that right now. We'll stop there because that's going to be a little bit. Yeah. So we'll stop here. Remember, we're right in the middle of verse 6. That our old self, knowing this, and this is common knowledge. You should know that. That our old self, who we were before we were saved, was crucified with Christ Jesus. So the purpose of the crucifixion of our old self, our old nature, or our old man, here's the purpose was in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. We'll get into that next week. Everything has purpose. God is so orderly. He's so orderly. I'm not just doing anything willy-nilly. Why did you do that? What was that about? No, it's orderly. I'm going to count God, Christ's crucifixion as your crucifixion. And in there is going to be that old man of yours, who you were before you were saved. And when he dies, when they put those nails in his head, they put them in yours. I'm counting that. So when he died, so did your old self. It died too. Because we're united with him in a death like his. We should also be united with him in his resurrection. Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. For all that you've done for us. What you've done for us is just beyond our comprehension. We ask that you help us to keep these things on our heart and mind that we may appreciate you even more. When I say that, I mean what you've done. Just incredible. Help us to walk in the fact that we don't have to sin. Help us to walk in that. Help us to walk in that. That we may bring you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.